Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you today. It's a good day, nice fall day. Wisconsin won yesterday, so the world is good, right? Anyway, we're working our way through Daniel. We're in Daniel 5 today, and I'm going to read the chapter to you this morning, beginning in verse 1. Then King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple of Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the kings and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed, and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed and his color changed, and his lords were perplexed. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. And now let Daniel be called, and they will show the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah. I heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and to make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and language trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of mankind and sets over it whomever he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed, and this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Tekel, and Parzen. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple, and a chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. The title of the message today is Playing Chicken with God. Playing Chicken with God. Many of you know what playing chicken is, or times when people play chicken. And oftentimes people, I would say probably stupid people, take deadly risks to see who can wait the longest to get out of dangerous situations. One very dangerous version of this idiotic game happens when two cars drive full speed straight at each other and see who can wait the longest to swerve or to bail out. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Rebel Without a Cause, one young man dies playing chicken because he tries to jump out of a car at the last minute and his jacket gets hung up on something in the car's interior. Now, this was something people were actually doing during the 50s. Even though Rebel Without a Cause is a fiction movie, there have been people killed playing this deadly game. I believe there's a spiritual version of this game where people challenge the power and the authority of Almighty God. The spiritual version is just as or even more dangerous than two human beings playing chicken. I heard a story about a famous atheist in the 19th century. He was giving a public lecture about why he did not believe in God, and in it he would issue a challenge to God. He would look up to heaven and he would say, "God, if you are really alive, strike me dead in the next 5 minutes." He would do this in these lectures. 5 minutes came and went and he was still alive, and he thought he proved his point. But one wise Christian observed this. Did this man think he could exhaust the patience of the eternal Almighty God in simply 5 minutes? We read of the new king of Babylon, whose name was Belshazzar. And up until Daniel 4, we're dealing with the most powerful Babylonian king in history. Nebuchadnezzar reigned for more than 43 years. After his death, there was a series of plots and assassinations that resulted in several short-term kings until a king named Nabonidus came to power and co-ruled with his son Belshazzar, whose name we find in Daniel 5. As the Babylonian Empire was slipping and another world empire, the Medo-Persians, were ascending, Belshazzar, the king, played a dangerous game of chicken with God. And any time you play a dangerous game of chicken with God, you're ultimately going to be the loser. It might not be today, but ultimately you will lose. The scripture we read this morning urges us not to take the mercy of God, the kindness of God, for granted. And this passage in Daniel 5 teaches us the eternal truth that God always ultimately wins when any human being challenges his power and authority. God always ultimately wins when any human being challenges his authority. Now, how do we knowingly or unknowingly challenge the authority of God? Well, first of all, people challenge God when they drink too much or are under the influence of drugs. Now, Belshazzar held a feast for 1,000 guests, and archaeologists have discovered this room in the ruins of a Babylonian palace that could have held more than 1,000 people. And some archaeologists believe this is the very room that feast was held on that night. It said on that very night that they were holding a feast, the Medo-Persian army was outside the city of Babylon. And you might ask yourself, as any sane person would, why would Belshazzar hold a feast if that were true? Well, he could have been trying to bolster the morale of the people of Babylon by having a feast. He probably thought that the city of Babylon was impregnable and unconquerable. It had two layers of walls. These walls were 25 foot thick and 40 foot high. And so maybe that's why he was holding this feast, to just show his confidence. Some say it was also a feast day of one of the gods of the city. And so he's holding this feast on this day when it's seemingly outside there was a tremendous amount of danger. The scripture says when Belshazzar had tasted the wine, he ordered the vessels taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem to be brought out to the party. He did that. Now, what was he doing in that? Maybe he was saying to the people that the gods of Babylon were superior because the gods of Babylon conquered the God of Israel and all the other gods of these other nations. And so maybe he was trying to make a statement. But he ordered these vessels of the temple of God of Jerusalem, the true and the living God, brought out. And in their drunkenness, let's put it a different way, Belshazzar and the other parties drank from the sacred vessels of the living God and toasted the false gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood. In their drunkenness, they challenged and mocked the true God. Now, even superstition and maybe protocol might normally keep them from doing what they did. But as they were drinking and as they were over-drinking, they lost all inhibition and did something that maybe if they were sober, they normally would not do. Now, the Bible warns again and again of the dangers of drunkenness. Paul told believers, don't be drunk on wine. Instead, be filled, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And if you read the book of Proverbs, there's all kinds of warnings about drunkenness. Believers should not ever come to the place in their life where they lose self-restraint because we are intoxicated. Now, I grew up in Oklahoma in the South, and they taught the wrong thing. They said believers could never touch alcohol in any form. We would regularly have speakers trying to indoctrinate us to this truth, and many times they would misuse the scripture as they tried to teach this. The Bible doesn't teach total abstinence from alcohol. That is an overreaction, and it turns into a form of legalism. But I want to say to you today, don't swing to an attitude where you don't recognize the dangers of alcohol and of drugs and of being intoxicated. Don't forget that the Bible warns again and again of these dangers. There are some people prone to addiction because of their family backgrounds or personalities, and they might need to particularly be careful about alcohol. And as a pastor, I've seen alcohol ruin many lives of people that were alcoholics and people that drank too much. Maybe they weren't alcoholics, but one time or two times they drank too much and something terrible happened. People, when they drink too much, sometimes do very dangerous, deadly, abusive, criminal, and stupid things. We could all tell stories. Every one of us knows stories. Belshazzar might not have done what he did without the influence of alcohol. But being drunk, over drinking, surely made it easier. Some people challenge God when they drink too much or they're under the influence of drugs. Then something crazy happened to Belshazzar, and he had to find an answer for what crazy thing happened to him. Where do you look when something crazy happens in your life and you need an answer? Well, people usually look either away from the living God when they seek understanding, or to the living God to seek understanding. Now, the scripture says immediately, during this drunken party, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall by the lampstands where everybody could see. Now, it's interesting. Some people tell us in ancient cultures they often would cut the hands off of soldiers killed in battle to see how many were killed. Here, this is not a dead hand. This is a living hand writing a message on the wall for Babylon, for the Babylonian king Belshazzar and those who were in attendance with him at this party. Belshazzar saw it. Everyone else saw it happen. And it's amazing the king sobered up pretty quickly on that night. He lost color. He became pale. He lost the ability to stand because of what he said. He called out loudly, probably in a panic, and the language indicates he was screaming for his astrologers and enchanters and religious leaders to tell him what it meant. These were the leaders of his false religion, his personal and political advisors. They were experts in all kinds of worldly kind of things and politics, and also a lot of wrong beliefs and ideas. When he asked them, they could provide no help to him, none whatsoever. Maybe they knew a lot about geopolitical condition of the world, but they didn't know anything about a hand suddenly appearing and writing messages on walls. Belshazzar had some knowledge of the true God, we learn later, but he didn't at first look to the true God for an answer to what had happened. Now, someone, however, who was close to the king, the queen, and probably this means the queen mother or the grandmother, the wives were generally at this party, so it's probably the queen mother. She remembered someone who possessed the spirits of the holy God. She remembered Daniel had advised King Nebuchadnezzar. She remembered God and how God had helped Nebuchadnezzar in his life. And she remembered it when life came crashing down on Belshazzar. It's interesting where people look when life comes crashing down on them. I remember hearing different reactions of Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy after he survived the assassination attempt during his first year of presidency. It's said that when President Reagan survived this attempt, he believed that God had spared him for some kind of higher purpose. And evidently his faith in the Lord, in Jesus, was pretty strong. I heard recently about him writing a letter to his father-in-law, who was an atheist, who was on his deathbed, and urging him to believe in the Lord, to take seriously the claims of Christ as he was dying. However, Nancy Reagan, she became so fearful for her husband's life that she turned to an astrologist. And daily she met with astrologists for guidance, and she wanted to get guidance from the astrologers so she could use it to advise Ronald Reagan on his trips and his schedule so that he might avoid danger. Her fear took over her life. Who do you look to? You know, when life comes crashing down on you, do you look to Jesus, to his word, to other believers? Do you just look to your past experience? Yes, we ought to learn from past experience, but we ought to learn what God wants to teach us through those past experiences. Or do we look to somewhere else? It's amazing to me how many Christians daily read horoscopes and things from the newspaper. God really tells us to avoid those kind of things. Do you look to God? Do you look to Jesus, his word, other believers, seek to be enlightened and led by the Holy Spirit, or you look to anything else? People either look to or away from the living God when they're seeking understanding. There's another way people knowingly or unknowingly challenge God, and that's this. People challenge God when they forget God's working and do not learn from others. Now, Daniel was called to advise Belshazzar. The king asked him if he was Daniel, one of the advisors. Daniel told he told Daniel of the failure of the other advisor to come in to help him to learn the lesson. He said, "If you help me, you're going to be richly rewarded." Daniel said, "I don't want your rewards. I'm not doing this for the money," basically is what Daniel was telling the king. "But I will interpret the writing on the wall." And then he began to do that for the king, but he did more than that for the king. He reminded the king of how the Most High God had given his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar greatness, glory, and majesty and almost unlimited power. But when Nebuchadnezzar became proud, as we talked about last week, God humbled him. Nebuchadnezzar went into a kind of insanity and was forced to live like an animal, thinking he was like a cow and eating grass for 7 years. And he was only restored to his sanity and his kingdom when he looked to God and came to truly confess and understand the Most High God, the true and living God, rules over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whoever he wishes. Daniel reminded Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel reminded Belshazzar that he knew all that had happened to his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He knew it happened. He knew it. He knew this. He could not plead ignorance about how the Most High God had worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life. And even though he knew this, he did not humble his heart and himself before God. Daniel says, "But you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You've brought vessels from his temple to this wild party. You and your government officials, your wives and concubines have drunk from them. And you praise the gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood, which are not gods at all. But you have forgotten the God of Israel, the true and the living God who gives you breath. You have not honored. You have not learned from what you should have learned from. You knew this and you ignored it." You see, when you choose to not remember God, when you refuse to learn from history and the experience of others, you recklessly challenge God. You know, we don't have to learn everything the hard way. And I want to tell you, you might not get a chance to learn the hard way if you don't learn lessons from other people. Belshazzar had the knowledge he needed to not challenge God. But just because you have knowledge, just because you are educated, doesn't mean you're going to apply that knowledge. See, it's kind of a dangerous thing to have knowledge and not put it into practice. You know, as evangelicals, as Baptists, we want people to know the Bible and know the Word of God. We want them to know it. We try to teach it. That's what I'm doing right now. But I want to say something to you and also to myself. If we know what God wants us to do, we better do it. We better put it into practice. We better just not have head knowledge of God, but it should change our lives and make us better fathers and husbands and children and neighbors and citizens. It should force us to tell the world about a Savior who loves it. You see, people know about smoking. They know it causes cancer. They still smoke. People know heroin is addictive. But we have opioid addiction is skyrocketing in our world today. People know these things, but they still do them. When you know how God has worked in the past and have seen how he's worked in lives, and ignore these things, you challenge God to a game of chicken, a deadly game of chicken, and you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You see, learn from what God has done in your life and the lives of others. And tell others. You know, it's always amazing to me how many times parents have never told their children all the things that God has done in their lives. Your children need to hear your stories about how you came to the Lord and how he has worked in your life. I'm telling you that some of the things that impacted me most in my life were the stories my dad told me about how God had worked in his life. You can learn and remember and miss a lot of heartaches and find life and blessing and purpose. Some people challenge God when they forget God's working and do not learn from others. And there's one final thing I want to point out from this scripture. No person, human authority, ruler, whoever challenges God wins. No human ruler, authority, or person who ever challenges God wins. They might not lose today, but they will ultimately lose. Belshazzar challenged God when he misused the temple, the vessels from the temple to toast his false gods. He challenged God. The hand appeared and wrote, Daniel read it, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parzen. Mene, a word which means numbered. And Daniel said to Belshazzar, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. It's at its end. Tekel means you have been examined and you came up short. You were tested and you have failed the test. You have failed the test. And then he said, Parzen, and Daniel said, it means that your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, the scripture tells us, Belshazzar, he didn't say anything to all that Daniel said, but he did. He didn't break his word, what he had said before all his guests. He gave him the promised rewards, but they really didn't matter much because that very night, Belshazzar was killed. The scripture tells us. And ancient historians verify this. They report that the city of Babylon, which Belshazzar thought was unconquerable with 25-foot thick walls and 40-foot high, two layers, was invaded in one evening while the nobles of the city were partying. A Persian general diverted the waters of the Euphrates River into a channel and lowered the river, because the river was the water source for Babylon. He lowered the river to a level that the Babylonians marched under the city walls into the city and invaded the city really without much opposition. And the city fell on that night, and the Babylonian king Belshazzar and his nobles were killed while they were still at the party. Belshazzar challenged God to a game of chicken, and he lost. No human authority or person who ever challenges God wins. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. God doesn't want to win any game with you. He is not your enemy. He does not want to bring you down. You were created in His image to know, love, and serve Him. And even that image that has been marred by sin, even then God showed His love for us by sending His Son to pay the just penalty that we deserve because of that sin. God doesn't want you want to be in a game with you. He wants you to win in life and find life and forgiveness and purpose and true fellowship. He wants you to surrender your life to Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. You see, don't live for yourselves at odd with God's purposes. Don't challenge God by ignoring the things that He said, but receive the forgiveness and salvation that He offers in Jesus that saves us from our sin. Every day, acknowledge as believers, humble yourselves and walk with God and realize His ways are always best. If you've never given your life to Jesus, become His servant, His subject, and yes, His friend. He wants that for you today and for me. God always ultimately wins when any human being challenges His holiness, so don't play chicken with God. He doesn't want to win. He longs for you to surrender your life to Him. It's not a game to Him because He knows He's always going to come out on top. He cannot be challenged. He desires for you to win by understanding why you were created and by giving your life to Him.
He offers that life to you, to every person in Jesus. Believe in Him and daily surrender to Him, and don't miss the life that God has. Belshazzar missed it. It's such a shame that he missed it, because he had seen God do so much in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, but he still missed it. Accept in humility what God wants for you, and find the life that God truly wants you to have. Father, we acknowledge that you are our Creator, and you created us so that we might know and love and live for you and serve you. And you redeemed us, God. We were rebels. We were sinners. We were sinners by nature. We were sinners by choice. But even then, you demonstrated your love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I thank you, God, that you so loved the world that you gave your Son. And though the world was running from you, though maybe someone here is running from you today, you long for them to believe in you and to be saved, and you long to give them forgiveness and life. Lord, I pray that if someone doesn't know you today, they'd give their lives to you. They'd ask you for your ways and your help, and they trust you with their lives. If a Christian, Lord, is somehow, Lord, not seeking you as they should, is somehow going away that you don't want them to go, help them to just turn from that and just move in lives and work in mighty ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.